Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Thank you.
Undistracted devotion for only you. Is that the desire of your heart? Is that the desire for your life, is to have an undistracted time with our Father? Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington. I am live here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I bring you greetings from Tabernacle of Faith right here in Decatur, Georgia, with Bishop Francis Mills, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ and to our very own Pastor Kimberly Black, who is the host of the Light of Portland broadcast. I bring you greetings. She is currently with the convention, the General Baptist Convention of the Pacific, and she is enjoying the Lord. And so tonight I will be with you hosting the broadcast for you tonight, and I am excited to be with the Light of Portland broadcast family. And there is a word from the Lord tonight, but we do want to give honor and thanks to those that make this broadcast possible, to the Butterfields who have set up this broadcast that actually streams from the prophetic campaign coming from
Bishop John Pace, and he gave it then to the Butterfields to host, and they invited us on, and so we created the Light of Portland broadcast, and then I then in turn turned it over to Pastor Black, and that is how lineage happens. That's how history takes place, one hand to the other, so that the work continues and never stops. And so we want to just give honor to the Butterfields and then to our very own Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who's the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, senior pastor being Bishop Kevin Jones. So we want tonight to just give honor to those that labor in the field with Pastor Black. We give you greetings and love, and we thank you for all that you do for the kingdom of God. And the broadcast would not be the broadcast if it were not for you, and especially you. And so I thank you so much for tuning in every Sunday evening. And again, we want you to tell a neighbor, tell a friend about the Light of Portland broadcast, and that we are truly trying to reach souls. We are truly trying to show the love of the Lord and to give each and every person an opportunity to hear from the Lord each Sunday evening, those that might be sick and shut in, those that may not have a church home, those that may not be ready to enter the four walls of the church since COVID. We greet you and we welcome you to the Light of Portland broadcast. So if you know somebody that has not had a word from the Lord today, we want you to invite them. Give them the number 917-388-4161 and let them know we're here live on the air tonight doing the work of the Lord and greeting each other in love. Tonight, we do have a few announcements, and take a few notes so that you can participate in some of these events that are taking part in at Portland, Oregon. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church Annual Vacation Bible School 2021 happens August the 4th through the 6th, and Vacation Bible School, or VBS, will be from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't worry, Matthew 6 and 25 through 34 is their theme. We have Jesus, which is Matthew 6, 33 through 34, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Classes for preschoolers through adults will take place August the 4th through the 6th for VBS at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church from 7 p.m. to 8:30. They will welcome in everyone. They will have daily snacks. They do provide transportation. They will have Bible study lessons, songs, game, craft, fellowship, and, of course, fun. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church is located at 8101 North Fisk Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97203. Again, that address is 8101 North Fisk Avenue in Portland. The phone number, if you have questions or registration, is 503-289-0147. Again, the number, if you have questions or would like to register over the phone, is 503-289-0147. And registration forms also can be dropped off or mailed to St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And then the Greater St. Stephen's family will be celebrating their 37th church anniversary. Woo, woo, let's give it up for the Greater St. Stephen family. They are celebrating their 37th church anniversary on Sunday, August 8th, from 11:30 to 12:45 at 3535 Northeast Mallory. Again, that church is located at 3535 Northeast Mallory. And remember, saints of God, we are still being cautious and safe. And so they are requiring face masks for the entrance into the sanctuary for both the VBS with St. Paul and for Greater St. Stephen. And then for those of you that are here in the Atlanta area, we want you to invite you out on July the 31st. We are doing a back-to-school bash, a dance party hosted by my store, Dance Rags, as well as the Learning Center. We are giving away school supplies and book bags for all age groups from elementary to high school. We are providing haircuts for the young boys, and we will have dancers that will be performing all throughout the day. It is July 31st. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And again, we will have a stage with performers all throughout the day. We will have food. We have bounce houses. We have games. We have icy popcorn, vendors, just all kinds of things so that we can celebrate our community and give back to the community. And again, this is sponsored by the Learning Center and Dance Rags. The address is 302 Veterans Memorial Highway, Southwest. Again, that address is 302 Veterans Memorial Highway, Southwest in Mableton, Georgia. And it will be, again, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and all are welcome. If you would like to be a vendor, all you need to do is bring some school supplies, and we will allow you to be a vendor. We look forward to fellowshipping with you and sharing what God has given each and every one of us to work together and to build our community. And so tonight, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to let the Lord know that we love him, we honor him, and all that we do to the glory of Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift you up and magnify your holy name. We give you praise and glory and honor. We, Lord, lift up all those that are sick and shut in. We lift up those that are lost. We lift up those that are homeless. We lift up those, Lord God, that are wavering in their faith, Father. Strengthen each and every one of us. Cover and keep us. Allow us, oh God, to hear you clearly. Send the Holy Spirit. Allow him to filtrate us, Lord God. Clean us out and purify us that we may do a great work on your behalf. Father, we love you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. We lift up our government to you because your word says that we must pray for them, Lord. We ask that they would be led by you, be guided by you, Lord Father, that they would begin to do the things, Father, that is helping the kingdom of God and not the world, Father. And we pray, Father, over Israel, Father, from all of the wars that they may be experiencing, for those that are lost and don't know who they are, we pray, Father, that you would begin to bring back them together as one family. We pray for the church in the name of Christ Jesus. Teach us how to be your bride, Lord God. Remove the skin scales from our eyes. Allow us to see that which is displeasing from you and to turn from our wicked ways. Lord God, we pray for each and every one on this line today. We ask that you would bless, cover, and keep them, provide their every need, oh God. We ask in the name of Christ Jesus that you would make sure that homes are provided for, Lord God. Bills are being met, Lord God. Lives are being saved and changed, oh God. And that your word is going forth in each and every household that is represented. Now we pray, Lord God, for those in a nursing home, Lord God, today. Those under the bridge, Father. Help us to find a way, Lord God, to be a witness and a light unto them, to make a difference and impact on their lives today, Father. We just want to magnify you. We want to glorify you. We want to lift you up, to give your praise, to exalt and magnify your holy name. We pray for the Baptist Convention that Pastor Black is with, Lord God. Give her traveling graces. Keep her safe, Lord God. Use her, Lord God, in a mighty way. We pray, Lord God, that a word will go forth in that place, Lord God, that will transform and deliver those that are participating. And Father, we want to be careful to give you all glory, to be careful to give you all honor, to be careful to give you all the praise that is due your name, Father, because if we had 10,000 tongues, we would not be enough to magnify and exalt your holy name and to thank you for all that you've done for us. So tonight, Lord God, we just lift our hands in worship. We bow our heads in humbleness unto you. We give you praise today, Lord God. We want, oh God, to be filled with you. So as the voice goes through the airways, oh God, we pray, Lord God, that you would allow it to be good ground. Nourish it. Put the seed in. Give it water. And then bring about the increase, oh God. Use me today, Lord God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Let your word go forth and not my own. For we love you, Lord God. I serve you, Lord God. I yield unto you right now. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Thank God. Hallelujah. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Love of God. Oh, my soul. Permeate. Get in there, Lord God. Fill me up until I overflow. There is a word from the Lord tonight. And if you have your Bibles that you could turn with me, we are coming from two scriptures, John 5, 1 through 9, and Luke 5, 17 through 25. So if you have your Bibles, I am reading from the New King James Version, and I will begin reading John 5, verse 1. And the reading of the Word of God reads as thus: After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, and whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. Verse 9. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And then in your hearing, if you would turn with me to Luke 5, verse 17 through 25. And the reading of the Lord's word is, Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your heart? Verse 23, which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Verse 25, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we give you glory. We thank you for the word of God that you've allowed us to read in our hearing. Father, allow it to be used to give us understanding. knowledge, wisdom, and who you are and what abilities you've given unto us and how you've desired to teach us your will and your way for our lives. We glorify you in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have two men with infirmities here, one by the pool of Bethesda, who had been there 38 long years, and the one who was let down by his friends from the rooftop to Jesus to receive a healing. These men had some similarities and some differences, but in the end, they were both healed, changed, delivered, and set free by Jesus. The man at the pool of Bethesda sat waiting for healing. The Bible says he waited a long time, 38 long years. What made those years so long? He was surrounded by others who had a condition, a sickness, an infirmity. He wasn't the only one that was homeless. He knew he was in the right place to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. He refused to leave this place because he knew in order to be made whole, he needed to be right where he was. Because he never knew when the angel would appear, he knew he needed to stay right there and hope that one day he could make it into the water. But this man was lonely. This man had no companion. This man had no friends. This man felt isolated, sober, bypassed. And I would imagine that he may have even felt hopeless. Watching others receive their healing year after year after year after year, time and time and time again, this man had lost hope. How do I know this? Because the Bible says that when Jesus spoke to this man, he spoke to him out of all the others that were there. Jesus chose this man to have a conversation with. And when Jesus asked him, did he want to be made whole, be made well? This man replied, sir, I have no one, no other person that will help me get in the water. I tried to get there, but on my way, somebody else gets in there before me because they have help. Even the blind men have been able to get their healing because they had someone to lead them into the water. And I believe that Jesus felt this man's loneliness. I believe that Jesus felt this man's pain, his despair, his hopelessness. And I believe that Jesus had compassion, a love, a desire to relieve more than just his infirmity. I believe that Jesus wanted to restore this man's hope and give him a hand. I believe Jesus wanted to show this man that he was not alone. And despite all the lack of faith that he had finally come to, I believe that this man still had a desire to be made well. If not, he would have left long time ago. So Jesus, being who he was, took his faith. And Jesus took his faith and added it to this man's desire. his desire to be changed, his desire to be made well, his desire to have life and life more abundantly. Jesus changed this man's life. We, as the saints of God, have this same ability to effect change in the lives of others. We have the ability to take our faith, because sometimes we waver in faith. And how do I know that the saints of God waver in faith? Because when you look at Peter, who was in the boat with the other disciples, and the water was boisterous, and Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said to him, "If that's you, Jesus, bid me to come to you." And as Peter began to walk on the water, he began to sink. And when he reached out his hand and Jesus grabbed his hand, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So our faith wavers, but I believe that Jesus took his faith, reached his hand out for Peter, and gave him a little bit of his faith in order to restore him to the ship. And this man that laid at the pool of Bethesda, who lost his faith that one day he would be made well. Not that he didn't believe that he could be made well. Not that he didn't believe that there was a stirring of the water, but that his faith, that it would be him that would receive the healing, began to diminish. And sometimes we as saints of God begin to diminish in our faith. Sometimes we're not sure if the Lord is going to pay that bill before the lights get turned off, or if the Lord is going to pay that bill before they pull our car off, if the Lord is going to heal our family member or ourselves before he takes us to the other side. It's not that we don't believe he can't do it. We just lack the faith that he's going to do it for us. And so Jesus took his faith and gave a little bit of it to this man and asked him if he wanted to be made whole. And we have to show that same ability to effect change in the lives of others. We have to show that our faith can connect with their faith, and we can allow the Lord to make a difference in each and every one of our lives. Now, the second man had friends. The second man had a family. The second man had a home, but a tragedy. Something happened to this man that caused him to be a paralytic. But when he had this happen to him, he had a support system. He had people around him to encourage him. He had people around him to help him. He had a support system. He had people that believed that one day he would walk again. Even when this man felt hopeless, even when he felt dismayed and discouraged, he had someone there to try to cheer him up, to tell him it's going to be all right. He was not alone. When his friends heard that Jesus was in town, they devised a plan. They got together. They decided that they would do what them as friends should do, which is make sure that their friend receive their healing. And in order for him to receive his healing, the friends got together and said, let's take him to Jesus. Because they didn't believe that he was going to stay in that condition always. They, his friends, grabbed a side of his bed, each one of them, and began to make that way to Jesus on behalf of their friends. And not one of them said, that walk is too long. Not one of them said that it's too hot outside. Not one of them said that it's pouring down rainy. Not one of them said that it's cold. It's snow on the ground. Not one of them complained about doing something for their friends. But that they would come together, strengthen one another, and carry their friend to the feet of Jesus. They wanted their friend to be made whole, to be restored, and they knew, they believed that Jesus was the answer. So when they arrived at the house where Jesus was and they saw the overflow of the people, they then had to devise a plan to get their friend at the feet of Jesus. Now, I can imagine that their friend may have had some emotional ups and downs throughout this journey. I can imagine that he felt like he might be dropped. And so when they devised a plan to lower him down from the rooftop, he may have said, no, 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 that's okay. We can just go back home. No, that's okay. What if one of you slips, so let's go, and I roll off this mat and roll down and fall and hurt myself more than I already am. You've already carried me all this way. Let's just go back home. But his friends, even though his faith began to waver, his friends did not allow his wavering faith to turn them away, because they desired to see their friend made whole. When sometimes we have to have enough faith for those that are around us, have enough faith for those that we care about, have enough faith for those that are lost under the bridge, homeless, sick, shut in. Sometimes we have to have enough faith to pour into our brothers and our sisters. As Jesus imposed his faith on the man at the pool of Bethesda, these four friends imposed their faith on their friends. Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, and the man never even got into the pool. The man never had to wait for the troubling of the water. All he had to do was hear the voice of Jesus saying, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he was made healed. But this is an issue because it caused an issue. Jesus healed the man of Bethesda on the Sabbath and told him to take up his bed and walk. And Jesus healed the paralytic that was laid, taken down from the rooftop, and told him that his sins were forgiven him. And Jesus knew that the things he said and the things he did would cause issues. When Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda, he was there because of the feast of the Jews. he was in Jerusalem, and it was on the Sabbath. So the church folk had a problem with the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath and told the man to carry his sick bed. And when they found out that Jesus healed him, they sought after Jesus' life. And because of Jesus' declaration of being the Son of God, which made him equal to God and able to do all that his Father could do, that made him able to heal the sick, that made him able to raise the dead, that made him able to cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. Because Jesus knew that he was loved by the Father and that the Father allowed him to do what he willed, made the Pharisees and the teachers a little upset. But Jesus said that he would do more that would make them marvel, because Jesus said in John 5, verse 19, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Life and judgment are through the Son." Verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Verse 27, "and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I do not judge of myself. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father." See, in Luke, Jesus says the man's sins are forgiven him, and he can do that because God the Father has given it over into his hands to do so. But Jesus doesn't judge of his own self. Jesus doesn't judge out of the flesh that he is in, you know, the way that we judge one another. But Jesus judges through righteousness so that they may be made whole. We saints of God, we church, have got to learn how to judge in righteousness, how to judge so that people can feel the love and the receiving of the Holy Spirit and of God in their life despite their situation. They need to feel that despite what they did this morning, God still loves them. They need to feel like despite what they said a few minutes ago, God still loves them. They need to feel that though they don't have a roof over their head or good clothes on their back, that God still loves them. And because the church, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the teachers heard Jesus say, "Thy sins are forgiven," they called Jesus a blasphemer because they judged out of their flesh and not out of the righteousness of God. Because they felt like only God could forgive sins because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew what his abilities were. Jesus knew what his destiny in life was, and he began to act and do that which God called for him to do. So the encounter with the two men that Jesus healed Jesus knew would cause controversy. He knew that it would go against the law. He knew that it would go against the grain. He knew it would shake foundations and cause men to question, what kind of man is this? He knew that at the same time that it would cause controversy, it would be the same time that it would make believers out of those that didn't know him. What is it that the church is doing that is so cutting edge? What is it that the church is doing that is causing controversial issues to arise that makes them say, what kind of people are these? What kind of foundation shaking is the church doing right now that's causing the governmental entities to say, what kind of people are these? That would make the world, our government, our unjust stand up and say, what kind of people is this? That will make controversial pros to happen, but at the same time draw people nigh unto the Lord. That will make believers in the Father. That will heal the sick, that will restore the lost, that will deliver and set free and change hearts and minds. We need to become as radical as Jesus. We need to become as sure of ourselves in Jesus as Jesus was in himself. We need to get as close to the Father as Jesus was. We need to get to work and do the will of God in our lives as Jesus did in his own. See, Jesus came to town and caused the town to come to him. What are we doing when we go into the four walls of the church, when we go into the city, when we go into our place of work, when we go into the store? What are we doing that causes people to gravitate to us, to see the light in us like they saw the light in Jesus? What are we doing when we make an entrance Are we making an impact? See, Jesus came to town and caused the town to come to him and then show them the Father. Are we showing the Father every day of our life? Are we showing the Father in all that we do? Jesus came to town, caused the town to come to him, showed them the Father, and then went on his way. Are we making an impact, a difference? What are we doing? And then going on our way? Or are we causing hurt and pain and sorrow and going on our way? We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just give you all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for the word of God that you've sent forth today. Let us make an impact, a difference, a change in this world, in our homes, in our society, by being about your business. Grant our hands to be put to the plow and our mouths to speak what the word of the Lord our God declares. Let us be earth-shaking, life-changing. Let us make a difference. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one that tuned in to the Light of Broadcast today. And I pray that you would keep them, Lord God. I pray that you would make your face shine upon them, being gracious unto them and giving them both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. Until next Sunday evening, make a difference. Be about your Father's business. Change your life today. In Jesus' name, be blessed and good night.